still the same.
You're listening to Indie 101.5 CIOI.
Good evening. You're listening to Current Fantasy. The show brings you a new, extended live off-the-floor modular and hardware synthesizer jam every week. It's just me in my hoarder-esque attic studio full of keyboards and noisemakers, mashing sounds together over and over. I got into synths when I was pretty young. I'd always banged away on the pianos and organs that my grandparents had, but decided I wanted my own sometime in 1984. I was big into music videos, and the stacks of keyboards I saw in them always seemed like the best part to me. Nick Rhodes from Duran Duran, Thomas Dolby, and a guy I discovered around this time, Howard Jones, were my earliest synth influences. My first keyboard was a small Casio with no real sound editing capabilities. My next keyboard had a section on it called Digital Synthesizer, and I found that when I adjusted the sliders on it, I could actually change the sound that the keyboard was making. By now, the mid-late 80s, I'd found bands like New Order and Depeche Mode, and I wanted to make my keyboards sound like those guys. I wasn't quite yet there, though. Up until then, all my instruments were of the home category. Although they could be, they weren't designed for professional use. They had small keys, limited sounds, and were battery-powered. When I eventually landed my first job working in an instrumental music store, I finally got my hands on some real gear. I was able to bring keyboards home on the weekends back in the summer of 1988, which I did every chance I got. I was saving all my money from the job with the intention of buying one of these beasts, which, although I got a deal on, still seemed astronomically expensive. It was down to two keyboards I had to choose from, an Ensoniq ESQ-1, a synthesizer, or an Ensoniq EPS, a sampler. Aside from being made by the same manufacturer and even being the same size and shape, these two keyboards were very different. A synthesizer sound comes from the oscillators, the electronic circuits inside, which create a frequency, which is then tuned to a scale by the keyboard or some other controller. A sampler sound comes from pieces of recorded audio, which takes on the same role as an oscillator, to then create the sound. I, of course, just wanted to sample myself saying, "Hey," or "Rock me, Amadeus." But I soon figured out I could use it to create otherwise unattainable sounds. I sampled the bass from an early Depeche Mode song, which is recording the piece of the audio, playing it back, and suddenly I have this killer Moog bass tone. I sampled Tom Jones, an old Lone Ranger cassette I had, drums, and even myself making a prank called Pizza Hut. To me, it all sounded amazing. Whereas the ESQ-1, the synthesizer, actually created the sounds from its internal electronic wizardry. While the possibilities of the sampler seemed endless, something about the sound of the synthesizer was unescapable for me. So the sampler felt like I was photocopying sound, whereas the synthesizer felt like I was grinding the pigments myself, building my own brush, and painting something totally unique. In the end, I think the ESQ-1 was cheaper, and that's what I wound up going with. Honestly, I think my approach to sound design would be quite different if I had chosen the sampler, and I always kind of wished I had. But that synthesizer I bought when I was 13 set me on the path that led me here to your ears. Enjoy the show tonight. I'm Jeff Haysalt, and I'm at the controls. Thank you.
the temple said, this one thing in common. Where? I never knew anything like that in the whole of my life. And one or two people have said to me, I've said it to myself, that's what death is going to be like. And oh, what fun it would be, would be.
Thank you.
You're currently listening to Current Fantasy on Indy 101.5, 101.5 FM in Hamilton.
Thank you.